Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends. This is Nick, and I'm here with my co-host, Terry, and this is Hell No, the radio show. Hell No, the radio show is a socially conscious water cooler talk show about what's going on in the world as we feature guests and callers who express their thoughts. Hell No is friendly, it's funny, it's real, and it's focused on empowering the truth. We give a voice to people who feel left in the dust. This program is not democratic, it's not fascist, it's not politically correct, or a place for sacred cows. What we do is we advocate peace, critical thought, education, reading, and social awareness. Go ahead and write this telephone number down and save it in your phone. It's the same number every show. Give us a call on your thoughts on our discussion-stirring topics. On tonight's Hell No episode, that number is area code 718-508-9419. Then when you're prompted, dial option number 1 on your telephone keypad to be brought in to be a guest. Again, that number is 718-508-9419. Hell No is a one-hour show, and we take your calls in the order we receive them, so please sit tight. Of course, we love to hear feedback from any of y'all. We can get email at hellnoradioshow@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook. Find us on Twitter. We're out there. And, of course, our show is brought to everybody by our wonderful sponsors, and Terry's going to tell us about them now.
Our primary sponsor is our old friend and wonderful body worker, massage therapist, Miss Jane Flint. Miss Flint is located in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, at 10335 West Oklahoma Avenue. And I'll tell you guys, ladies, if you've never had a professional massage, you'd be starting at the top of the scale. She is as good as they get. You've heard me say this before if you've listened to our show. I'm telling you, if you're within a 100-mile radius, come see her. It's worth the trip. She is amazingly adept at being able to figure out what's wrong with you, how to make it right, and take care of old injuries, new problems, imbalances, all sorts of things. She's schooled in over 15 different disciplines of massage therapy and body work, including the activated stretching routines that they use on the Olympians. She's one of only two people in the state of Wisconsin that is certified to do that. Now, she is reachable right off the freeway. She's right off of 894, only like two blocks. And again, 10335 West Oklahoma Avenue in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And you can reach her at 414-321-9030. 414-321-9030. And if you mention our little program here, Hell No, the radio show, she'll give you $10 off your first massage. She'll also give you something. If you refer any folks to her practice, she's expanding it a bit. So we're getting that out there that she has gift certificates and things for people who will help her to expand her base these days. She's changed direction a little bit, and she has a little more time available, so she's going to fill that with working, making people feel better.
Terry, I got a question about Jane. When you talk about referrals, because I've been working all day.
Yeah.
Our listeners, there you go, are all over the place. We have listeners from the state of Texas to Wisconsin to South Carolina, Florida, I'm sure some West Coast people. So my question is for those who are nowhere near Ms. Jane Flint but would love to take advantage of something like that, I wonder if she probably knows other fine professionals who do similar work that she does and can make referrals as well to other people in other areas. I'm just throwing it out there for people. Even if you don't think that you might be able to go see Jane, you might just give her a holler, and she might know someone in your neck of the woods.
Very likely. She is a certified and registered massage therapist and body worker through the AMTA, I'll get it straight, American Massage Therapy Association. She has one of the advanced licenses where she is licensed in every state of the union. You have to take a lot of tests for that. You have to go through a lot of schooling. That's not something they hand out lightly. And she's able to work, legally work anywhere in the United States. She is an amazing lady. She's a wonderful person. And you will enjoy your interactions with her, I guarantee.
You know what I think, Terry? And, like, I'm just jumping from nowhere here. If I was Jane, I would think about, you know, what if I went on tour? What if I got me a camper, a motorhome, and I could just drive? You could literally set up appointments with people in different states. If you had someone like an intern or someone paid to set up appointments and all that, mm-hmm. she could just make mm-hmm. a big tour, turn people on to the benefits of body work and good massage and deep tissue stuff. You know, just a thought for change.
You're not wrong about
Jane,
that.
If you're
that's very possible.
Go on tour.
Yep. This was a pretty rough week, and we had a lot of passing personages. We're only going to mention a few. A lot of very important people did pass away this week. We could spend pretty much the whole show talking about it. First and foremost, of course, would be Mary Tyler Moore, a wonderful actress, a very nice person. I had the pleasure of hearing her speak a number of times, and really, really one heck of a lady. The fact that she lived as long as she did would be something of a surprise because of the fact that she had type 1 diabetes.
And she lived to 80.
Yeah. She also, for a while, had an alcoholism problem. And that does not go well with diabetes, believe me.
Something to note about Mary Tyler Moore, by the way, that's sort of timely and relevant with what's been going on in the news. This last weekend, thousands of women marched for the, raise awareness of the cause of women's health issues and women's rights. And Mary Tyler Moore was notable as a celebrity for her efforts in expanding the aspect of women in the workplace. You know, her television
mm-hmm.
show that she was on, that was quite a new thing for the time. So a lot of people do revere Mary mm-hmm. Tyler Moore as
yep.
a champion
yep.
for women's causes and women in the workplace and working women. So, you know, and she, at the time when she was on her show, to dare to be a single, living by herself, working woman, that was a lot at the point in time that show
was
aired. I don't can't, you know, what, late 60s, early 70s?
Throughout there.
Right.
The other person I'm going to bring up, and there's so many others I could name. I just wanted to sort of stay with the same theme and mention somebody in the entertainment industry. And you're going to have to hit the computer quick here. The bass player from Mötley Crüe passed away, a progressive rock group from the late 60s and early 70s. I do not recall the gentleman's name.
How do you spell that, Mötley?
Mott, M-O-T-T, the word the, and then Hoople, H-O-O-P-L-E.
Mötley Crüe. Bass player from Mötley Crüe. All right. Let's see. Pete Overton.
Help us out here. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Pete Overton Watts
mm-hmm.
was
mm-hmm.
here. I got it right here. Pete Overton Watts was an English bass guitar player, founding member of the 1970s rock band. He died January 2017. Doesn't say he was 69 years old. Started playing guitar at age 13. Wow.
Yep.
Switched to bass
yep.
By 1965. Did a lot. So, yeah, very.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't say what happened to him, but.
Yep, he was very accomplished.
English guy from over the pond.
Yeah. Yep.
Overland Watt.
Who else was I going to mention today? That passed away from pancreatic cancer.
I don't know, but that's a quick one.
That's a bad one.
It's
her name
a bad one,
Bell.
But it's a quick one at least.
It's not that quick. The lady's last name was Dell, D-E-L-L. That was her stage name. And she was a stunt woman. So staying in the theme of women's things and accomplished women and women who were groundbreaking.
Glenn Dell. was aerobatic
yes.
pilot.
That's not who we're talking about. We're talking about a lady, and her last name is Dahl. I'm sorry. I'm not as prepared as I should be today. I have been on the run all day
not
long.
Glendale. Stunt woman.
No.
Let's try that. Stunt woman.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if I can be like a competition here. Can Nick beat a millennial doing the same research? Paula Dell, pioneering movie stunt woman at 90. All right, thanks. New York Times. Uh-oh, don't tell Trump I'm pulling this out of there. Yeah, Paula Dell, whose acrobatic feats made her at Muscle Beach in Santa Monica, California. She was a pioneering and fearless Hollywood stunt woman. That's very cool. I wonder if she knew the Evel Knievel people and all that. Yeah, she'd like, they'd hold her up, someone would, like, people on Muscle Beach would hold her up in the air and she'd flip around and do stunts. You know, what is it with people in California and their ability of balance? I saw some guy one time in Santa Monica Pier trying to balance a bicycle on his head. You know, they have a whole thing with balancing out there. I don't know.
Well, they don't have a very balanced life, so I guess they have to do it somehow.
Guess so. I don't know. My daddy always said they were hitting the nose of surfboards too many times, but, you know, that's another.
Well, I do want to bring up something that I find tragic. And she is a good way to segue into it because she worked with a number of circuses over the years doing acrobatics, hand balancing, and that sort of thing. She was a very strong lady and did many, many very dangerous stunts. She was really a pioneer because up until the time that she was in place doing her thing, almost all of the stunt work was done by men. They put men in women's clothing. They'd find smaller guys to do it. She did it all, and she did it herself. And she was very accomplished, very, very accomplished. Matter of fact, I do know that at age 80, she did a teeter flip off one of the teeter boards, which is
at
amazing.
80?
At
Holy
age
crap.
80, yep. That was a celebratory thing that she did on her 80th. That's truly
Most
amazing.
People in their 70s are happy to walk around the block.
Yeah, exactly, especially nowadays. I want to talk about the circus. The circus has basically died. It was killed by animal rights nutballs. I will not hold back on this, not one iota. These are crazy
people. You believe that they are absolutely the reason for the low attendance? I mean, it was sales and financial reason that put them pretty much out.
You talk to people, everybody is vilifying the circus and how horrible it was, and I won't go there, and I'm going to protest this and I'm going to protest that. I'm going to go on record saying something I've said many times.
It worked.
Yeah, it works. That's right. That's really sad. I wish they put that much effort behind reality and not fantasy, and not for people who are mentally challenged like Wayne Pacelli from HSUS and the people from PETA.
Hell no,
these
y'all.
Hell no is right, and on every level. These are some of the worst miscreants on the planet. They lie to you. They cheat. They steal. They steal your money. They claim it's going to animals. It's not. They have, and I was in a pet shop the other day, and there was a lady in there who was just ranting about these groups and how bad they were. And she said, you know, people can't distinguish between animal rights and animal welfare. She said, we all should be concerned with animal welfare, and we should. This whole animal rights thing is nothing but a bunch of whacked out, evil-minded, controlling SOBs. We don't need that anymore. They have done
they
so much
the
damage
gypsies,
to our
culture.
They are
the gypsies, tramps, and thieves, damn it.
Well, they've done so much damage to our culture, and they've done so much damage to animals and conservation. They have done more damage to conservation than any three oil companies. They are horrific. They are absolutely diabolical. These are not humans. I do not consider them humans. And the only people I say that about are people who are really, really bad. And they are every bit of it. And the worst part is they con all the rest of these people into believing all of their bullshit. Hell no. We don't need the lying, thieving asses who have caused us to lose a huge part of American culture, the circus. Ringling Brothers, Barnum Bailey closed their doors. They're gone. It's over. You won't see it again. And this is tragic. They took better care of their animals. Yeah, they took better care of their animals than any zoos did. They were incredible the way they took care of their animals. The way they got the bad reputation was by fake films that were put together by HSUS, PETA, and Animal Defense Fund League, a bunch of lying bastards. So the only thing they have an interest in is getting control over other people and making them believe they're demented crap. Hell no, we don't need them. Hell no, we shouldn't have them in our society. And hell no, they should have no power whatsoever. And sadly, they seem to be gaining more power, not less. And they seem to be gaining converts. It's like a terrible religion of some sort. They're crazy people, splitting us from the animals that share the planet with us. They're doing everything possible to drive a wedge between us and the other animals that live on this planet. And they are succeeding in doing it. Boy, are they ever. It is unbelievable to me that people fall for this crap. They're weeping puppy ads on late night TV with all the false statements, the fake films that they've done, and no one seems to care. They just barely missed going to jail. The whole group of them barely missed going to jail on the RICO Act. And that had to do with Ringling Brothers. This is unbelievable. Ringling got paid back somewhere in the neighborhood of $17 million from ASPCA, HSUS, and one of the PETA groups. Why? Because they hired a guy. They paid this guy to lie in court about these fake films about the elephants. Now, how about this, folks? All you wonderful, well-meaning HSUS people and PETA people, you have just caused the biggest blow to elephant conservation that has ever happened. Ringling Brothers spent more money on elephant conservation than any other entity on the planet. They were the only reason we still had a genetically diverse herd of Indian elephants. They dedicated thousands of acres of land to an elephant refuge. They did elephant breeding. That's done, ladies and gentlemen. That's finished. As to where those elephants are going to end up, God only knows. It costs a lot of money to maintain an elephant, but what's more, it costs a lot of money to maintain the kind of property that you need to keep elephants on. It's not going to happen. They spent millions over in Asia on elephant conservation. Any of these whack job bastards ever go over there and do anything on their own? No. They closed down the circuits. Hooray for them. These are sick individuals. If you gave a damn about the animals, you'd do your research before you did idiotic stuff like this and believe the bullshit that these people tell you. Their whole foundation is lies. They're fake. These organizations are fakes. Wake up, people. If you want to see some interesting stuff, go on the internet and look for humanewatch.org, humanewatch.org, and then look up PETA Kills Animals. Those are two sites you might want to see. Between HSUS and PETA, they kill more animals than just about any other entity in the United States, period. I think it is more than, they kill more than slaughterhouses do, for God's sake. This is madness, and you're giving money to these people. Instead of giving money to your local shelter, who actually, you know, they do something. They work their hearts out. They have volunteers. You give it to these organizations that are nothing but a group of sick power mongers. Enough. Hell no, these are not humans either.
On another movie reference,
move on.
For a lighter, but relevant still, the 2011 film Water for the Elephants is Nick's recommendation. It takes place in the 1930s, and there's a veterinary student who said, you know, his parents wanted him to go one route. He says no, and he takes off, and he joins up with this traveling circus kind of by accident, and ends up falling in love with the ringmaster's wife, but he cares for this elephant and stands up for the elephant when one of the guys is, I guess one of the ringmasters is, abusive towards the elephant, and they take that guy, and it shows the circus and all the care for the animals, and it is kind of a good story of what they do. It tells more of a kind of behind the scenes. Anyways, it's a good film. Again, it's called, Water for the Elephants. You can find it on IMDb and watch it for $2.99. You can watch it on Amazon Video from your home live streaming. Anyways, it's a good
movie.
I liked it.
Yeah, here's another example of the lies and bullshit from HSUS and PETA. They want everybody to boycott a film that's coming out, and I'm sorry, I don't have the title right in front of me, where allegedly it shows a German shepherd dog being abused in the film. Well, here's the truth. Not only was that dog not abused, that dog was doing stunts that he was trained for. And the one time where it looks like he's struggling, the only thing that it has to do with is he was on the wrong side of the pool. They were working him in the swimming pool. And
the film's
he was
called
trying
The
to get
Dog's
out of place.
Purpose.
Yes, The Dog's Purpose, yep. And when you see the whole film, the whole cut of what they did, this was a dog that had been working on this trick for quite a while. It was hardly abused. The dog was a happy dog. He was happy to do the trick. He was very enthusiastic. He picked the wrong spot to try and get out. And, you know, of course, this is the thing that ends up on somebody's camera. The dog scratching a little bit on the side. And at no time was that dog in danger, in trouble, or unhappy. End of story. And now they're going to boycott a perfectly decent film because of their ridiculous paradigm.
I have an interesting question that I've never really made the connection, but I'm going to make it right now. How is it that they don't mess with rodeo? Or if they certainly don't around here, not in Texas. I mean, we've got a lot
They've messed with it in many places, Nick. They got the shit kicked out of them, plain English. And that's what needed to happen to them in every instance. It's like when the bikers got a hold of them. That was a very gratifying story where these PETA members went and went in a little bus and went through this biker rally and threw paint on their leather jackets and that sort of thing and called them murderers because they had leather clothing, etc. And they're just lucky the bikers didn't kill them, which is no less than they deserved. The bikers were minding their own business. They were having a picnic, and that picnic ended up very interesting because after these PETA members did this, they were found in various places tied up with chunks of hamburger and hot dogs strapped into their mouths. We need a lot more of that and a lot less of these SOBs setting people up, which is the other thing that they do.
Hey, I want to, you know what, while we're on that topic of some of the liberal wackadoos, what about our friend Madonna? So she said, she didn't say she's going to blow up the White House. She said, I've thought a lot about it. She got a platform. By the way, I'm going to, from a PR standpoint, I want to say good job, Meryl Streep. Good job, Madonna. Y'all put yourselves back in the spotlight after being gone. I think a post on Twitter, Madonna off America's radar since Kurt Loder stopped doing the MTV News. But, you know, she's going to come up with her little black pussy hat and trumpet her whole thing. And then, oh, no, I'm so sorry. But you know what? Homeland Security's going to investigate her. I say put Madonna on a no-fly list. And then, you know, that solves that problem. Let's put all these people on a no-fly list. That's what I'm going to – and you know what? With who we have running the country right now, that's entirely possible. I hope they do investigate her because it's people like that. Our celebrities are in a position of power and authority, and even though they have free speech amendments and they can say their First Amendment right, whatever, you know, and maybe they're not inciting violent, insidious conduct from their speech, but still, they have a significant following, especially when we look at these things on Twitter. You know, if you have that much of a following out there in the world where you speak and that many people hear, your influence rises in the ranks. And I predict that we are going to see some potential, not necessarily limit their First Amendment right, but you say the wrong things and you might be hushed up, you know, especially when you're talking about blowing up the White House. What do you think, Terry, about Madonna, what she had to say? Anything?
Madonna's former manager is someone that used to work for me, and I know more than a little bit. The woman is not entirely How do I make a euphemistic comment?
She seemed like she still had the cheese on her cracker when she said that.
Yeah, well, she's pretty much batshit crazy in a lot of ways, and she's a person who's got definite behavioral problems.
Well, a narcissistic personality disorder is one thing, but it doesn't give you a pass.
No, I'm not saying it gives you a pass. I'm just saying that that's the deal with her. She's as whacked out as our new president seems to be. I'm not by any means pleased with his first week in office.
Let me know why you're mad at Trump.
I'm not mad at him. I just think that he's been absolutely stupid in the way he's handled things. He had a chance. He could have made this all work very well. And instead, he's behaving like a three-year-old. That's bad news for us. It's worse news for him because he may end up being the youngest president ever impeached, or not the youngest, but I mean the president with the shortest term. Let's put it that way. Be interesting to find out who had the shortest term, so far as that was concerned.
If the Congress were to impeach him, you know, we go back to Bill Clinton and Bill Clinton time, and we remember learning about this, different things that cause, you know, or lead to impeachment. There's a list. People can look it up. It's a good thing to research. There are a lot of folks out there who talk about impeachment and don't really understand the grounds or why it could be.
Yeah.
And I've heard a whole lot of people just talking about impeachment like it's just, you know, like it's a NFL ref pulling a red flag out of their pocket for a challenge.
Well, I didn't mean to oversimplify it because it is a complex situation. And it also doesn't mean that he gets fired or kicked out. Clinton was impeached and he survived it and, you know, actually survived it very successfully. I don't know that Trump would be as successful by any means. He is.
What particularly was he talking about that? But I'm asking because I don't know. I have not heard all the different. I'm aware of the different executive actions that he's taken. I've followed up on those. As far as things he's said out there, I haven't heard the news on that. So I'm curious what it is we're talking about here.
Well, I'll have to paraphrase because I don't have it in front of me, but
absolutely right.
First of all, he declared his inauguration day a federal holiday from now on. Gosh, you know, the modesty is just overwhelming. He also today came out and said that torture was a legitimate way of getting information and we can use it and blah, 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 which of course goes against more international laws and things than you can possibly imagine. It was bad enough when we had Darth Vader Cheney in there. This is just blatant support of torture. My God, that's madness.
So did they talk, when we talk about Guantanamo Bay, waterboarding and all that was a topic, did we not call that torture? Or were we close to but not over the level?
I don't know where it finally ended up. I think it was open to interpretation. I don't know how you couldn't call it torture because it's exactly what it is. It's torture. I don't see where human beings should be allowed to torture each other. This is craziness. And we have other means to get what we need without resorting to barbaric, absolutely barbaric stuff, crazy barbaric stuff. I don't know, you know, and he's tweeting all this stuff on his cell phone. And one of his aides quietly said, you know, somebody should take the cell phone away from him and do him a big favor. I agree with that. He would do very well without his cell phone. Get him to stop doing stupid things, stop knee-jerking to anybody who protests him or doesn't like him, and get on with the business of being a president.
You know, I will agree on, I've been critical of the response to the Meryl Streep thing, and other people are critical. I just don't, in my opinion, it's beneath the office of the presidency to even dignify and respond to that.
Exactly.
It seemed there's a balance, you know, the way that I look at things is there seems to be a balance when approaching Trump as President Trump, and I don't think that the tweeting is going away. I think it's going to become the new norm. The interesting question is, what will there be reaction when the following president, after one or two terms, does or does not also tweet? People might be, well, hey, we're used to this, you know. The landscape of communication, I think, will be changed throughout his presidency. The news already wraps itself around what he has made statements on Twitter and so on and so forth. I do think that some of the statements that are the response to Kim Jong-un and nuclear testing is that it won't happen. Again, we don't know what that means. It won't happen. People could read things into these statements, and that can be problematic. I will agree with that. But in the meantime, now shift on the other page. He's accomplished a heck of a lot. In the first 3 days. Talk about making good on your promises to people. I mean, the executive actions and the targeted things that we've seen, we can go through those after the break, but I think it's definitely worth a recap. But before then, why don't we hear a little bit about our music for tonight, which I'm only going to play 4 minutes of because the version I have, it says 25 minutes, so it looks like it might be the first song and then other songs, so we'll give it the best go, but... You want to tell us about the Quicksilver Messenger Service?
Quicksilver Messenger Service. Boy, I can't talk either tonight. Quicksilver Messenger Service was a really fine band.
It's a tongue twister.
In the late 60s and 70s. And they later shortened it to Quicksilver. Some of the spectacular musicians that were in there, Dino Valenti, who had a really signature guitar riff that you would hear, and you knew it was him. Nicky Hopkins, who was probably the finest rock and roll piano player ever. The man was just genius. I don't know if Nicky Hopkins is still alive. I'd be curious to find that out, maybe while we're listening to the music. They redid a number of songs. It's very seldom that I like a cover version of a song better than the original. And I happen to like the original on both the songs that we're going to be talking about here. One of them is Who Do You Love by Bo Diddley. The other one is Mona, also by Bo Diddley. Two great blues rock songs by a man who was an absolute master of blues rock. Don't get me wrong, Bo Diddley was phenomenal. He was absolutely the cutting edge of blues rock. He was responsible for an awful lot of things that had happened. And as with many of the black artists, he found it necessary to kind of beat his own drum and say, hey, he was the originator of rock and roll. Unfortunately, we have a few others that claim exactly the same thing. Little Richard, of course, and Chuck Berry all claim to be the originators of rock and roll. And then there are others who say Buddy Holly really was the originator of rock and roll. And the truth is, all of them were.
I'm going with Elvis.
Jerry Lee Lewis. Now, Elvis came after that, long after that. Elvis was not rock and roll. Elvis was rockabilly and ballad and that sort of thing. But these guys really were rock and roll. If you ever listen to some of the Buddy Holly stuff, it's phenomenal thing. Phenomenal thing. And Little Richard, of course, Chuck Berry, and a couple of the other black artists from that time period found that the only way they could do anything or get anywhere is by self-promoting. So they self-promoted. And they weren't modest, and by God, that got them somewhere. They were boastful, but they had a lot to put behind that. So tonight we're going to listen to Mona. Live version,
actually, it's,
I believe.
Who Do You Love?
Oh, we're going to listen to Who Do You Love? I thought we had Mona. Never mind. Sorry, folks.
You know what? Hold on. Let me look through my thing here. Let me scan the messenger.
This show is disorganized.
No, I've got the one lined up, but I think that we've pulled their music before. Let's go with what I've got.
Okay. Who Do You Love?
All right. Here we go.
Bo Diddley tune by Quicksilver. Dino Valenti on guitar and vocals.
Thank you.
Well Now.
Well Now, Quicksilver Messenger Service. I saw the band a number of times. They were really tight. They would open with that song frequently, and they would come out on the stage one at a time. And that's why you have that slow build in the beginning, and all of a sudden it kind of just jumps to a crescendo. They didn't have a particularly good ending, I'll tell you. There were all sorts of difficulties, both financial and otherwise. But they put out some great songs, and there was a song that was really quite unusual, and that one was called Shady Grove, Where All the Pigs Have Tails. Great song. Great song. Onward and Upward. Do we have any guests out there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, and they just raised their hand. Good guest.
Well,
we like guests who like to raise their hand and say, oh, let's see what we got with our guest whose telephone number ends in the digits 6838. Go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hey, who are you calling?
Good
gentlemen?
Evening, ma'am.
Yeah, yeah.
The sign on the door said gentlemen.
It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me.
That'll be in the news next week.
Yeah, well, good. Anything to make the news, you know. Anyhow, where are we going now?
You tell us. You're our caller. We'll let you take over. Oh, boy. Now
well,
we stymied her.
Yeah, you just came up with a stymie. I thought we had some onward and upward, and now
I have
full responsibility here. Oh,
complete.
I did like the song. The song was very good. It was very different. It took the Bo Diddley blues, blues, into rock and roll, I would say. I mean, was that a 70s song? Was that a 60s song?
Well, the original was in the 60s by Bo Diddley. And then Quicksilver did it in the 70s.
In the 70s,
they redid it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And just about every bluesman in the world did that song at some point in time or another. But that version, to me, is by far the best. And that introduction is just mind-boggling. That is some of the best work, guitar work and other work. The Bo Diddley tom-tom drums in there, just what a terrifically powerful song.
So I guess segueing with that, how you can go from this song to the same song, but in a completely different manner, completely different spin on the song. So I guess we should talk about spin in the media and what's been going on with that.
Are you kidding? In our country? How can you say that?
Oh, my.
I know. We're all completely honest, and no one's got a red flag.
And our media is just nothing but reality.
When I talk to some people, there really are. Okay, I'm going to draw the communication map for the United States as sort of a Venn diagram. Raise your hand if you know what a Venn diagram is. V-E-N-N. Okay, assuming that we. For those of y'all at home, look it up, Venn diagrams, circles, connect, okay. In the middle, there's, you know, the collective thought and information of all, but then in the bubbles out in the different directions, there are the narratives that come from whatever, you know, whatever team you are supporting in the Super Bowl or the Bowl of Life in politics. Whether you watch more conservative or more liberal news, you will hear different narratives. Your whole schema for the world is unique to what you're listening to if you're only getting your news from certain places. And when I've talked to people and they tell me their stories of what's going on in the world, what is in the news, what is the big thing of the day, I get completely different stories from different people. And I think it's really interesting. Really, what's going on in the world really just depends on who you ask. There's really no collective everything's spun in so many different directions, and it's all narratives. I don't know. How do you figure out what's real?
Well,
I'm at
I don't
a
think
loss.
People care much about that anymore. I had a long discussion with someone today who was she was a theoretical physicist, and
well, that's a smart person.
Know, she was arguing with me about something that I warned her in advance she wasn't going to win, and
you didn't warn her.
I did warn her. Yes, I did. I was polite, but I just
please be advised.
You're viewing this from a completely reverse situation. And I went on to explain myself, and I went on to bolster my point, and she essentially told me it was just nonsense. And, the long and the short of it was, not only was it not nonsense, but her argument fell apart shortly after that, and she was forced to, shall we say, recapitulate a little bit on that. By the way, who doesn't know what recapitulate means? If you don't, get your damn dictionary out and start learning some words. You know, English is out there. It's a great language with a very rich vocabulary. It is rapidly disappearing. And it's rapidly
recapitulation usually occurs on a music page, by the way.
Go ahead. You're looking something up,
page.
I can tell.
No, I'm recapitulation. Like it's. I remember, like, you know, growing up and playing music. The recapitulation, the recap. It's kind of like the you come back around with all the song and how it's progressed. It's like the chorus.
Well, recapitulate can also mean to have to recall it, which is essentially what we're talking about, recall. But anyway,
you think I had to look up recapitulate, Harry? My goodness.
All right. How about Hippopotamonstrous Esquipedalian?
How about the soundtrack to Godspell, which I listened to a little bit last night, because it helped me get through the song Day by Day, helped me get through wanting to strangle someone in our town who is littering our town with thousands of spent Whippet cartridges. Yes, world, they knew. They call on the street. They call it hippie crack. There are people who are using nitrous oxide cartridges. They use them in balloons. They use them in other things. They get high on them.
What does this have to do with
these,
what we're talking about?
It absolutely has everything to do with it, and I have a serious problem to solve once we're finished with your story.
Oh, no, wait. How did we get from vocabulary to nitrous oxide? Or are you using nitrous oxide and that allows you to do that?
No.
Have you got your whipped cream can there and you're just snorting a little?
I'm not making that many pies, Terry.
That's what I thought.
Nick, you know you have that bright silvery paint going on.
Oh boy. Yep. He got that milk mustache all the way around. Yes, sir, ladies and gentlemen. We are a laugh a minute.
SNL skit.
That's because of the nitrous oxide that Nick has. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of SNL skits, the writer got canned, suspended indefinitely for making fun of Barron Trump, calling him the next. It was bad, like a homeschool shooter. Bad. Anyways, sorry. I've got a case of interruptus muchus. Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. We expect no less.
I would have people, you know, that I would see clients come in and. You know, they've been huffing, and, their face
is like multi-shapes of
glittery paint, and, you know, you just say, well, you know, you've been huffing today.
It obviously affects their brain skill or their brain power because the same girl, when confronted with it by the town, by other people, will sit there and deny it and saying she doesn't even drink with a can of Bud Light in her hand. And we're worried these hundreds and thousands of these things. She's chunking them off the barge at the end of the boat ramp. They're in the bar ditches. They're going to fill up. The next time it rains, there's going to be literally hundreds of these things causing, by the way, Terry, alert, a huge environmental disaster in my town. You think beavers are good at making dams? A 35-year-old junkie with whippets, she got the beavers beat all day long.
I'm not even touching that one. I'm going in another direction right now.
Okay.
We're not going to beat any more beavers.
What would Peter say?
So,
don't beat the beaver.
Having nothing to do with that. You said that these were your clients. But this wasn't in your incarnation as a very high-priced madam in Washington, D.C. or anything like that, was it?
No. That was another
Okay.
lie.
Okay. I just want to try to fit this all in, so to speak.
Yeah, to go out and beat
any more beavers.
Yeah.
This is a terrible thing.
Reality is.
Where's Leslie
thing.
Nielsen?
Reality,
I need to go watch the Naked Gun movies.
Reality is a terrible thing these days. Reality is a terrible thing these days.
Yes, it is.
It's a hard
and
thing.
Very seldom encountered.
Day.
Very seldom encountered. Visited by a few of us every once in a while. Oh, Lord.
To check the mail.
So they say. Well, I guess it's time for Terry's really bad taste joke of the week.
No
drum roll.
That's better.
Okay, that's much better.
That's a real wood desk.
Wow, aren't we special? Hmm.
I am so Southern, I just improvised with what I had.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am.
You do with what you can.
Anybody know why blondes...
Southern ingenuity.
Damn, they just were walking all over me. This
Go
program
ahead.
Has now been branded completely dysfunctional. Stamp. Hey. Come on, guys. Time to go back to the trailer. Oh, Lordy. All right. Anybody know why blondes wear those big hoop earrings?
Why?
So they got a place to hook their heels.
I messed it up. You have to say, punch it again. You have to do the punchline again.
The punchline again? I really do? I better do the whole joke again.
Okay.
Go.
For those of you who have been doing too much nitrous oxide and can't follow this, anybody, you know why blondes wear these big hooped earrings?
No.
Why?
So they have a place to hook their heels.
That's
Yes. Oh, she got it now.
I'm not.
Oh, Nick. Wake up.
Beat the beaver.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
Well,
okay.
Boy, oh, boy. Not only are we going to get you a dictionary, we're going to get you an urban dictionary as well, I think.
I go to an evangelical church. So,
yeah?
I don't know.
Why is that our fault?
I go to a Catholic one, too. Everyone freak out.
That's definitely not my fault.
I remember Sister Mary Agonista,
believe me, only too well.
Yeah, you know, it's fine to be conflicted and just to take, you know, it's kind of like, for me, religion's like news. I get a little bit from column A, a little bit from column C, look around me, kind of put it all together, and, you know, what's reality to Nick? What Nick can see, taste, smell, touch, you know, what...
That sounds
thing.
A lot more like number one Chinese restaurant.
There are none. There are no, like, do not eat Chinese in Denton County, Texas. You will be let. If you come from anywhere else and you're looking for good Chinese food, don't even bother. Like, go get you some barbecue, some brisket, you know, whatever. Pizza also kind of don't, but our beer is really good. Beer's really good. Hey, Terry, speaking about areas and what about land rape? You know, that kind of goes along with our depraved show tonight. Talk about raping the land with exceeding speed. We are overbuilding, and there may be consequences.
There already are consequences. We already are radically overbuilt, and we are covering up the very thing that gives us life, our planet. We're covering it up with concrete. We're covering it up with turf, astro and otherwise. We're covering it up with houses.
It was
Terry.
You would, you know, you talk about global climate change and global warming. You will like this. I mean, no, you're not going to like this, but it was the 2016. I saw on CBS hottest year on record.
Yes, it was. Of course, there is no global warming. Just ask Mr. Trump.
It's the end of days.
Wow.
It's the end of days. Think about how screwed we are. Like, of course, our asses are going to heat up a little bit. Come on, we're all going to fry.
Our sun has about another 2 or 3 billion years. So it's not exactly the end of the days. It hasn't turned red yet. It hasn't become a red dwarf. Pretty sad that we are taking everything else with us. Pretty damn sad. The rate of extinction is greater than that of the dinosaurs. We haven't ever seen a time like this on our planet. It is very frightening. It is unforgivable. And what's even more unforgivable are people who deny that it's happening. That's just stupid. That is just completely stupid.
I tell you what I find extremely frustrating. As I guess a
those orthopedic socks?
Yeah, well, that too. Well, we won't talk about the orthopedics or the other things. Anyhow, it's very frustrating when there's so many organizations, but there's so little funding for someone like me who's willing to do a cooperative with someone. If I can just find the right connection in terms of, you know, I have certain resources, I need another person with a certain set of resources, let's work together. I mean, such as, you know, I have some land, do you have some bees? And, you know, I think at this point we need to be looking at doing that, even if it's non-profitable for the planet.
Well, I certainly don't disagree with you on any of your points. You have to remember that I time when cooperatives were becoming the thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I still belong to two different cooperatives. As a matter of fact, I'm a lifetime member in one, meaning that my dues were completely paid up. Cooperatives are great, but unfortunately, they just can't get traction. You know, they will appeal to a small group of people. They'll appeal to a usually better educated minority. But unfortunately, they just can't get traction with all the other stuff that's going on with the food giants and all the rest of it. It just doesn't work. It only works on a very small scale, and then only sometimes, and only in some places.
Well, it's sad, really sad.
I would like to see cooperatives not just with food, but also with banking.
Well,
talk about that.
What about banking and all that aside, though? What about bartering itself? The concept
I
of
love
trading.
Bartering.
I mean, for example, my grandfather was a welder, and he did welding in exchange for venison. So much venison. You have any idea how many ways you can prepare venison? There's all sorts of ways. Thank God for all those ways for welding.
I think that's exactly what I'm talking about. Is I mean, it may not even be the same project that both of you were working on. You know, maybe someone does need to hunt my land because, you know, I don't allow hunting. But if someone actually does need the food, if they want to come and help me, let's say plow a garden, And it's that kind of bartering and trading off. I think it's how our grandparents did it.
I do it with my bee guy. I give him a place to put his hives. I encourage him to utilize that area. He does. He produces a lot of honey and makes quite a bit of money off of it. And I get free honey. I get two things. More important than my free honey is I get bees on my land so that my plants are getting pollinated properly. Lord knows, we're in trouble with that. We've talked about it only too many times. So I'm all about bartering. I met a young lady once upon a time. She wanted to barter for things and turned out to be somebody that I spent some time with for a couple of years.
If ever in Colorado, a lot of the people who work in these resort towns they all barter services. I remember one time a buddy of mine worked at a board shop and he could fix your snowboard and he would exchange for like stew. The other guy worked at the stew pot. There's a whole money never traded hands. There were all the wealthy people in Aspen and Snowmass and then all us, you know, common folk who worked there and everyone lived really well and there was no taxes. So again, not everything needs to
government
go through your
bartering.
Bank account.
Government,
you know,
hates it.
I mean, government hates it. We're out of time. Y'all, we never talked about President Trump's first 3 days in office. Well, next week we'll have all sorts of executive orders to talk about. Can't wait.
Sure.
Until then, we're off. We got to go. See y'all later.
Hell no. We don't need any more of these animal rights groups. May they rot in the hell that they create. Good night, everyone.
Wow.
Good night.
Later. Y'all have a good night.